From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Defending the Goodness of God, part of this series in the book of Romans. The text is found in chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. The Jews of Paul's day objected to his teaching that God has chosen some to salvation while leaving the rest to perish in their sin. They claimed that by doing so, God was either unjust or that he was not good. And these objections are still being raised to this day. Paul countered by arguing that God owes no man anything, since all men are sinners, not only by birth, but also by deliberate choice. It is purely of God's grace that anyone at all is saved, for mercy is the bestowment of a sovereign God. The problem with the lost is that they choose to reject the mercy which God offers in Christ. So God gives them exactly what they want, eternity without him. There is therefore no ground for sinners to find fault with God. He is just, perfect, sovereign, and good. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 14 and verse 72. And when he thought thereon, he wept. It has been thought by some that as long as Peter lived, the fountain of his tears began to flow whenever he remembered his denying his Lord. It is not unlikely that it was so, for his sin was very great, and grace in him afterwards had a perfect work. This same experience is common to all the redeemed family, according to the degree in which the Spirit of God has removed the natural heart of stone. We, like Peter, remember our boastful promise, "Though all men shall forsake thee, yet will not I." We eat our own words with bitter herbs of repentance. When we think of what we vowed we would be, and of what we have been, we may weep whole showers of grief. He thought on his denying his Lord, the place in which he did it, the little cause which led him into such heinous sin, the oaths and blasphemies with which he sought to confirm his falsehood, and the dreadful hardness of heart which drove him to do so again and yet again. Can we, when we are reminded of our sins and their exceeding sinfulness, remain stolid and stubborn? Will we not make our house a bochim and cry unto the Lord for renewed assurances of pardoning love? May we never take a dry-eyed look at sin, lest ere long we have a tongue parched in the flames of hell. Peter also thought upon his master's look of love. The Lord followed up the cock's warning voice with an admonitory look of sorrow, pity, and love. That glance was never out of Peter's mind so long as he lived. It was far more effectual than 10,000 sermons would have been without the Spirit. The penitent apostle would be sure to weep when he recollected the Savior's full forgiveness, which restored him to his former place. To think that we have offended so kind and good a Lord is more than sufficient reason for being constant weepers. Lord, smite our rocky hearts and make the waters flow.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. cried to the Savior, "Forgive me, I pray." He granted cleansing, and sins fell away. My bondage was ended, my heart was set free. Lord, nevermore may I wander from Thee. Create in me a clean heart, my Father. Renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. May Christ be seen in me. May Christ be seen in me.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Be very slow at judging God, because while Western Europe has been going from the heights of divine blessing down to the depths and the dregs of humanism and hell, And while America has been doing its best to follow right in their footsteps, God has been lifting a people in China from the depths of degradation, and he's building a church that bids fair, according to many observers, in this new century to become the leading Protestant. And to them that means Bible-believing nation in the world. I want to tell you, God will endure sinners to promote his program of redemption. The last thing Paul says in 23 and 24 is that no ground is available to find fault with God's sovereign mercy and his treatment of those whom he saves. It's clear that God's election considers all men as sinners. And out of that bunch of sinners, God chooses a people, makes them willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Don't tell me that the people who get what they will, what they want, have any argument against the justice or the goodness of God. And I will not take time to deal much with verses 25 through 28, except to say that they teach us that God has done exactly what he always said he would do, both in calling the Gentiles, verses 25 and 26, and in saving our remnant out of Israel. So Paul comes full circle to God keeping his word, thus saying every criticism of God is invalid. His faithfulness, his justice, his goodness are beyond question, and they're gloriously set forth in the gospel. And that is Paul's big point. Now that's his argument. And that was supposed to be for me the brief part. I was supposed to start preaching after all that. And I can see looks of utter disbelief. And, oh no, surely not. So I will be brief. Out of all that I've said, I want you to get a view of God. He is sovereign. And never forget that the purpose of God is worthy of himself. It's vast, it's incomprehensible, it's great and it's glorious. And the beautiful thing is, you'll see this in verses 25 and 26, it takes in many, many people, his purpose of mercy takes in many people who appear to be hopelessly beyond the pale. You know, that gives me hope. That's why I am so strong in my absolute belief in the sovereignty of God, in his predestinating purpose. If I didn't believe that, if I believed it was all up to me and how well I worked, some of you have been down that road, and some of you have listened to preachers who have guilted you into this and guilted you into that, as if the salvation of the world depended on how well you were able to do your job. I'm all in favor of you doing your job to the very best of your ability. But I want to tell you, when you've done it all, Jesus said you're only an unprofitable servant. But there's something that gives you certainty. If God called you to the mission field, he has a harvest there. When God called me to Greenville, this was for me a mission field, believe it or not. I was like a fish out of water. Some fish. The one that swallowed Jonah, maybe. But God confirmed there's a harvest there. How do I know there's a harvest? Because he is absolutely sovereign. He will do his will. He's powerful. He can kill and he can make alive, as Deuteronomy 32:29 says, as he showed in Egypt. He's faithful. His purpose will stand and his promise will be fulfilled. He's just. Because while the ground of mercy is solely the will of God, the ground of condemnation is always the sinfulness of the sinner. God never gives a sinner what he doesn't deserve. And he's good. Understand this, and I think this is lost in most of the discussion about the sovereignty of God. His central purpose is a purpose of mercy. When God is speaking here about describing his purpose, he says, what's the first word out of his mouth? I will have mercy. And people are that busy on the next part, on whom I will have mercy, that they forget the first. He's saying, I will have mercy. The millions of people saved across the world are all living testimonies to the glorious truth of that wonderful fact. That's his central purpose. I've often said, I believe that God will give Christ the preeminence, even in the number of the people saved versus the number of the people lost. In other words, will there be more in heaven than in hell? I verily believe there will. And yes, I'm aware of Matthew 7, few there be that find it. That is a description of a very limited period of time. And it is not the final or only word. How do I know it? In Isaiah 28:21, I'm told, judgment is God's strange work. It's his strange act. God's greatest central purpose is a purpose of mercy. He's good. Remember what I said. Never forget it. And do not pervert the gospel of sovereign grace. Where there is a soul that longs to be among God's elect, and know it, longs to be among God's redeemed, there is a willing Savior. And God is good to everyone who calls on Him. Get a vision of God. See man, guilt, his depravity. For did you ever stop and think that both mercy and judgment presuppose guilt? See man and his inability. It is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth. You're not going to get saved in the strength of your decision. Now listen carefully. That doesn't deny the importance of willing or running. There are some people who think that you believe what I believe. You're what the world calls a Calvinist. You can't believe in men deciding for Christ. Sheer unadulterated rubbish. I'm working at expressing myself clearly. Rubbish. This does not deny the importance of willing and running. In this very chapter, Paul talks about people attaining this salvation. Men say, well, if God is sovereign, we're just puppets. Paul doesn't even recognize such a foolish objection. Doesn't set out to answer it directly, but he does destroy it. Man's willing and man's running are not illusions or delusions. What Paul is saying is they are not the moving cause. In other words, God doesn't love you and save you because of how well you will or do. You decide for Christ because of that mysterious but glorious and gracious decision of God long before time began. There's no spiritual ability in man to originate faith and repentance. God doesn't choose us dependent on our choice. It's the other way around. If you want to find anything out about man, you'll see his utter inferiority to God and his total dependence on God. We're the clay and he forms us. What does that tell you? Did not Paul say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am? This is a liberating truth. Some of you, you say, I'm not much. Well, I would get worried about you if you were coming to tell me how great you were. I have an inbred detestation of people who are full of their own greatness. I had a young fellow come when I wasn't long in Greenville, and I was very busy, as those who were here in those days will remember. My days were very, very, very full. That's where all these grey hairs came from. 21-hour working days, week after week after week, and month after month. And I was out on my feet, and he came to sit down and tell me, "It's time that you got to know a little about me." And really, he proceeded to tell me how wonderfully gifted he was, and he was really looking for some place whereupon to bestow his not inconsiderable talents. Had there been a bucket in the room, well, we will not go any further. He got short shrift. But you come to me and say, "Preacher, what am I? I don't have the brains of him or her. I don't have the ability and the talent of that person. I look into my background and I see things that I'm ashamed of. What can I ever be?" Let me tell you, the hand of the master potter delights to take the meanest and form them into vessels of honor. The grace of God can make you everything that the will of God calls you to be. And let me finish with a word of gospel. If there's one thing comes out of all this, it is that man can be saved. That's the message of verses 25 through 27. God can and will save his people from their sins. He's calling out a people. Some of them are Gentiles, some of them are Jews. He's calling the most unlikely people from the most unlikely places. He's calling. Do you notice something? When Paul gets to the end of this, he doesn't say, "Now sit down and figure out where you sit in the eternal purpose of God." He doesn't say, "Sit down and figure out, are you written in the book of God's eternal election?" That would be presumptuous. No, no. He talks about hearing the call of God and obeying it by faith. And I'll tell you something, here's the beauty of it. I can't read God's eternal book. It's enough that he can. But I do know this book. And this book tells me that whom God calls, he justifies. Whom he justifies, he glorifies. And those whom he calls and justifies and glorifies, by those very acts are demonstrated to be the people he foreknew and predestined. Forget about reading God's eternal book, the book of his purpose, and read in plain English what he says here before you. See yourself as a sinner, guilty, depraved, spiritually incapable of anything good, a willing slave of sin and a deserving candidate for hell, and then see God in sovereign grace and love and mercy, and hear the call of the gospel in the lips of Jesus Christ. Heed it by faith, and here's the promise. These are the very words that Paul uses. They shall be saved. May God take his word. Use it to slay our own pride, to establish in our hearts the testimony of his justice and his goodness, and lead us all out, in the words of the old hymn, to step out on the promise and get under the blood. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.